Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Czech Catholics have attended a special event in Rome on the anniversary of the canonization of St. Agnes of Bohemia. President Zeman will celebrate the Velvet Revolution anniversary in Bratislava, but not in Prague. And Prime Minister Babiš has been absent from lower house sessions more frequently than his predecessors. Czech clerics and pilgrims attended a special event at St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican on Tuesday, marking the 30th anniversary of the canonization of St. Agnes of Bohemia. A mass was held in honour of Pope John Paul II, who canonized the Czech saint on November 12, 1989, just days before the start of the Velvet Revolution. Tuesday's mass was conducted by the leader of the Czech Roman Catholic Church, Cardinal Dominik Duka. Prayers were said at an altar to St. Wenceslas, a statue of St. Agnes, the tomb of St. Peter, and the place where Cardinal Josef Beran's remains were held before being returned to his homeland last year. The Czech President Miloš Zeman will take part in celebrations of the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution in Bratislava on Saturday. Mr. Zeman will lay a wreath at a plaque at Comenius University and will also open a new Czech house in the city. However, as previously announced, he won't be attending any events in Prague on Sunday, the actual anniversary of the start of the revolution. Mr. Zeman's spokesperson Jiří Ovčáček said that on November 17th, he would be observing a silent remembrance, which was more valuable than, I quote, poetic words. Mr. Ovčáček also said that some people had stolen the anniversary and would be holding a hate gathering in the Czech capital. The current Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has been absent from lower house sessions more frequently than any of his predecessors, the news site iRozhlas.cz reported. Mr. Babiš has missed 73% of votes during his time as Prime Minister. He's also frequently not present when interpellation takes place and has missed over half since the last elections. Last week, Mr. Babiš said in an interview that he would no longer attend Chamber of Deputies sessions as they were eating into valuable time when he could be working. The second least present Czech Prime Minister was Miloš Zeman, with Václav Klaus and Bohuslav Sobotka tied for third place. Students at the Faculty of Arts at Prague's Charles University began an occupational strike aimed at boosting awareness of climate change on Tuesday. Organisers said participants plan to sleep at the faculty overnight before the protest culminates on Palach Square in front of the building on Wednesday. However, faculty staff have said they must exit the building by 10 p.m. Breakwaters aimed at protecting Prague's Charles Bridge from ice and flooding are now back in place following a major renovation job, Novinky.cz reported. New breakwaters, which stand in front of 7 of the bridge's 15 arches, were installed at a cost of 30 million crowns. The 75th edition of the Prague Spring International Music Festival will open with a special concert on May 7th featuring the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Kirill Petrenko. Smetana's My Country, which usually launches the festival, will take place on the traditional date of May 12th, performed this time by the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra, helmed by conductor Semyon Bychkov. And finally, the weather, it should be overcast with some rain in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to 4 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are then expected to climb to above 10 degrees Celsius at the end of the week. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, Lech Wałęsa, Magda Vašáriová and other leading figures of the revolutionary changes in Central Europe 30 years ago attended a Czech radio conference marking 30 years of freedom. And we'll take you to another site linked to the events of the Velvet Revolution. Later on, I'll be talking to Czech documentarist Barbora Baronová about her project Dialogue, in which she spoke to artists from the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Poland about their engagement through art before and after 1989. Stay with us. Czech Czech Radio marked the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution on Monday with an international conference on the fall of communism in Central Europe and the transformation processes that followed. Aside from prominent former dissidents and politicians such as Lech Wałęsa, Magdalena Vašáriová and Václav Klaus, the speakers list also featured the names of leading experts in the fields of economics, political sciences and journalism. Tom McEncrow reports.
The venue of the conference, the new building of the National Museum, used to be the heart of communist legislature during the normalization era. Now the building that once housed the Czechoslovak Federal Assembly and later Radio Free Europe housed a day-long conference organized by Czech Radio titled Europe Without the Iron Curtain, 30 Years of Freedom. The event began with a speech by Michail Žantovský, the director of the Václav Havel Library, who is also the former president's biographer. He highlighted the fact that although Václav Havel was not expecting the moment of change to begin with the demonstration on November 17th, he was nevertheless the man of the hour, who set the country in a clear Western direction.
In November 1989 and the following months, he showed an exceptional ability to see events in Czechoslovakia from an international perspective and had a vision for the state's future place in the world. Without repairing damaged relations with the West and neighboring Germany, which was burdened by the heritage of communist rule, the Second World War, Nazi occupation and post-war population expulsion, the Czech return to Europe would have been hard to imagine.
Poland's famous intellectual Adam Michnik, who played a crucial role in the 1989 talks with the communists that led to the latter agreeing to elections that year, said he remembers 1989 as a time of hope, when people such as him had a feeling that they were fighting for something fresh and great. He was followed by the former Czech Prime Minister and later President Václav Klaus, who said that the fall of communism was the most important event in the country's modern history. However, the former Czech President also said that the experience of communism had given the country a unique sensitivity towards what he sees as various elements weakening freedom, democracy, the free market and national sovereignty.
To se dnes velmi pozitivně projevuje I tím,
that explains why the countries of the Visegrad Four are far more critical towards dangerous tendencies of the present day, a period marked by the onslaught of multiculturalism, genderism, environmentalism, and transnationalism. These are ideologies that are currently winning in Western Europe, and ones which we certainly did not expect in November
1989.
At a subsequent panel, Lech Wałęsa, the leader of Poland's Solidarity Movement in the 1980s and Poland's first post-communist president, highlighted the fact that election participation in most states is very low in today's world. He finished with an appeal towards the search for new structures in a world order that is currently taking shape. Sitting next to Wałęsa, the former ambassador and foreign minister Magdalena Vašáriová, who was one of the leading figures of the Velvet Revolution in Slovakia, said that the basic principles of a free society are critical thinking and free discussion. In the afternoon hours, a wide range of philosophers, political scientists and economists explored controversial topics in panels titled Is Democracy Dying in Central Europe? And Has the Democratic World Missed the Chance It Was Given in 1989? One of those who discussed the latter was Jascha Munk, a German-American political scientist and university professor who recently penned the book The People vs. Democracy, in which he warns that liberal democracy is under threat. Asked by Czech Radio's Michal Rosipal why he believes this is the case, he said that when it comes to Central Europe, one of the reasons may be quite simple.
There was always these different strands in the revolution from the beginning. There was a lot of people who simply wanted a nationalist revolution that would overcome Russian domination. There's a lot of people who dislike the secularist nature of a communist regime who wanted a return to more traditional and perhaps religious values. And so I think what we're seeing in Central Europe today, what we saw this morning, is not some people who stay true to the nature of a revolution and others who betray it. It is a civil war among the different inheritors of that revolution, a debate about what it should really mean for Central Europe today. And that makes Central Europe special in a certain way.
Tom McEncrough with that report, and staying now on the subject of the Velvet Revolution. Every day this week we take you to places that played a significant role in the events leading to the collapse of the communist regime 30 years ago. In the second episode of our mini-series, we visit the former Laterna Magica Theatre in central Prague, which served as the headquarters of the Civic Forum. Ruth Francoa has the details.
The Civic Forum, a loose opposition grouping led by Václav Havel, was founded just 2 days after the brutal police crackdown on an unarmed student demonstration on the 17th of November. During the second week of the revolution, it moved its headquarters to the legendary Laterna Magica Theatre located between Národní třída and Wenceslas Square. This is where all the important decisions were made and where journalists from all over the world gathered to report on the events leading to the fall of the communist regime. One of the key figures involved in the events leading up to the Velvet Revolution was Michal Horáček, then a 37-year-old journalist working for the weekly Mladý Svět. Several months ahead of the revolution, Horáček, together with rock musician Michael Kocáb, founded the civic initiative MOST, or Bridge, which aimed to provide a platform for future talks between the communist government and dissidents.
We thought, first of all, that the totalitarian power is only strong as far as it is total, if there is no division among the leaders, for example. So we aimed solely to talk to the then Prime Minister, Mr. Ladislav Adamec, and eventually, after a roller coaster ride of events, eventually we found ourselves a day after the events of November 17th, in his private flat. And we discussed the situation and we really pressed on with the idea that the Prime Minister should meet with people of the so-called independent initiatives, which later became the Civic Forum, founded the very same evening.
Michal Horáček went on to work as a spokesman for the newly founded Civic Forum, which became the official voice of the protesters and a partner in the dialogue with the communist regime. During the second week of the revolution, the co-director of Laterna Magica offered the theatre spaces to the Civic Forum leaders. For the next 2 weeks, it became the centre of the revolutionary events.
Everything was happening here. It was the heart and the mind of the revolution. Václav Havel was here all the time, practically. This is where we planned the great demonstrations and the speakers and the singers and where to send our young people, like outside Prague, to explain to workers in, say, Ostrava what's going on. And all the reporters from all over the world, really, the famous ones, came here to Prague to cover it. I will never forget these 13 days that ended when the National Assembly cancelled the constitutional article giving the Communist Party the so-called leading role in our society. By that very moment, a new road was opened to all of us, you know, leading to free elections and then to making our own mistakes. It was just us now.
Apart from the days spent in the Civic Forum headquarters in Laterna Magica, Michal Horáček also remembers the moment he stood in front of the crowds on Letná Plain 30 years ago, introducing two officers from the riot squad who came to apologize for cracking down on the students on the 17th of November.
At a certain hour, I think it was very late in the night, one day, the officers of the entire riot squads came offering their apology for what they have done. That was really something stunning. We didn't expect that. You know. Of course, we wanted this to happen because there was a lot to forgive. So I was the one with Michael Kocáb who introduced these officers who appeared there in full gear. And it was so difficult because people we thought might not be prepared to give their absolution. But they came, they said what they had to say, and they were reasonably well received. So that was, I think, for me, the moment I remember and cherish the most when recalling the revolutionary hours and days.
Well, that report by Ruth Francova, and of course you'll hear another part of our mini-series tomorrow. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. One of the many undertakings commemorating the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution and the return of democracy to this country is a collection of interviews, quotes and photographs compiled by the award-winning Czech documentarist Barbora Baronová in cooperation with the Czech Centres. The collection, named Dialogue, contains Bára's interviews with artists and journalists of various ages and backgrounds from the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Poland about how they engaged through art before 1989 and after, and how they perceive the problems of the present day. I met up with Bára to find out what they feel strongly about and began by asking how they perceive freedom.
Freedom, when you lived before 1989, it was something you had to fight for. Today it's something what's common, that's here and in some way, and you can really enjoy almost everything you wish, if you're rich enough, maybe. And it was quite surprising, because younger generation was really aware of the necessity of freedom, because I think I spoke with all those people who's got the experience, if not their own, through their parents, through their education, so they knew what was happening there, I mean, before 1989, so they were really aware of what does it mean, freedom. But you know what, it's today we have also another sense or meaning of freedom. So, for example, when I spoke with Sasha Ulova, she was talking about people who are living almost like on the margins, yes, of the society, and they had to work a lot, and still they do not have enough money. Or if I spoke with Slovak filmmaker Teresa Nvotová, she was talking about immigration, and many people were describing today's world as the world of fear, but fear that is sometimes irrational, because it's caused by populism, and they describe it as a danger. And for example, for me, very interesting topic was also said by the Polish artist Zbigniew Libera, who talked about consumerism, but all in the sense of some kind of comfort zone. He called it something like comfort zone, and he spoke about the danger of being really only satisfied in
with your
life,
little world, in your little bubble.
Exactly. So he spoke about the problematic thing in the society when people are too satisfied, so they accept almost everything, even wrong things.
So if problems don't touch them personally, basically, yes, they yes. don't care much.
Yes.
Were the issues, these matters of concern, were they the same or similar in the Czech Republic, Poland and Slovakia, or were they entirely different?
I think it's something what we have in common. It's something what we share together. Populism, it's this consumerism, it's the fear from immigrants, it's a nationalism, not in Czech Republic as much as it's in Poland and Slovak Republic, but I think it's here also as well. And people are somehow, they do not want to solve something. They really want to live their life and be satisfied, and they are really not interested in what's happening around. And all of them, they were really aware of some kind of ignorance of important topics in the society.
Now, one of the issues addressed here was these people's engagement through art.
Mm-hmm.
The older ones would have been engaged through art before the fall of communism and after. Is there a difference in how they go about it? And do they find that the public is receptive to their message that something is wrong in society in this respect or that respect?
Mm-hmm. I believe that the role of art is still the same, and people are still receptive at the same level, I guess. But
what I'm talking about is the comfort mm-hmm. zone that you mentioned. Maybe people are simply not listening today as they were under communism, because back then The enemy was clear, wasn't it? It was the communist regime. People would go to the theatre. They would basically wait to read between the lines. Do they do that now? Do they read books? Do they go to the theatre?
I believe it's still the same, but the topics are different. As I mentioned, Sasha Ulova, she is writing articles and books on a low-paid employment. Or there is, for example, Tereza Novotová. She's making films on women's rights. So the topic is different, but I believe people still can get it the same way. It's the question of different topics, but I believe that the awareness of people is still the same, and they can read what's behind the lines. I believe it's still the same.
When you spoke to them, they're from different walks of life. How do they feel about the present day? Are they disillusioned by the state of Czech society? We're talking about consumerism, interpersonal relationships.
I think the most of them, they are very angry because of what's happening today. And I think it's connected to with all those disillusions and frustrations that people believe that 30 years after the communism, they will not solve topics like that there's somebody in the top of our country who is talking about problematic things and who is cheating and lying and who is the one who grabs the money for himself and so on. So I believe that this is the problem that they are angry, and but I don't mean it that they are angry in a violent way. They are angry and they are very clear, and maybe there's the difference that before 1989 you have to hide the message in the art, but today you can be very clear what you would like to say and what you are saying.
So they're very open about
yes.
it. It's a direct attack,
yes.
basically.
Yes, yes.
How did the meetings with them enrich you? Were there any thoughts that stuck in your mind? Because you also compiled a lot of quotes from some of the most important things that you felt they'd said. Were there any that really impressed you, that stick in your mind and basically touched you, reached you very strongly?
I've chosen many, many of them, but a very important meeting for me was with Zbigniew Libera, who described me that he was sent to the prison. He worked with problematic, with handicapped people and so on. So for me, there was a message that if you would like to say something in your life, you have to live. It's not about that you're copying somebody or that... your celebrity. For me, it was the message from his interview was that if you would like to be somebody, you have to live full life and you have to have lots of various experience, and you step out of your comfort zone and you go and talk with people who are handicapped, who are somehow quiet in the society. So for me, it was the message, and you have to be brave to speak up, and you have to be brave to fight for important things. So for me, it was a very empowering interview.
Bára Barónová, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for coming to the studio.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, that was Bára Barónová, and my interview with her brings us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. And, of course, remember, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for listening and take care.